Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
All right, we're getting ready for another episode of CarCast. We're going to talk about a little bit about McLaren. We're going to finish up the McLaren week story, so Senna and McLaren GT, and then we're going to get into some of the SUVs that all got announced this week, quite a few of them, and check in with Goldberg on an update on his Super Garage. But before we get started, a little word from our friends at Madison Reed. Mister, maybe you're working from home, and let's say you're staring at you and on your computer, and your coworkers are staring at you on your computer during these video calls, and you're staring at your gray hair, you're thinking about coloring it. Well, you're not alone. Madison Reed Mister. It's gray blending, natural-looking color for your hair and beard. I saw the before and after shots. They look great. There's none of that shoe polish look, and it's pretty easy to do. So maybe you just want a little more pepper and a little less salt. Well, Madison Reed Mister makes it easy to find your color match on their website. It's quick and easy, as we said. Just apply a little bit of the color gel to your hair, then the activator, wait 10 minutes, and then rinse. You can rinse and shampoo. It's super easy. Plus, they deliver right to your door. So just go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use the code ADAM10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's MadisonReedMister.com. Use the code ADAM10. Hello, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea with Bill Goldberg. Good morning, sir. How are you?
How can that not get you? Talk about
getting fired up.
Yeah, to answer your question, I'm foggy. I've been out since 7 o'clock this morning with the people who are finally breaking ground on Goldberg's Garage Point 2.
Yeah, excellent.
So, yeah, it's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day.
Well, that's going to be exciting. Do they have kind of an idea?
They've been doing
this is sort of a prefab thing, so they've been trying to do as much as they can, like at their home base.
Well, you got to order the steel, mm-hmm. you know, which takes 12 to 14 weeks. And then you want to get the steel in for the end of the year because the prices change. And then, yeah. And so then they have to erect it, then disassemble, then ship, then erect.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while, man. These guys are, you know, like I said, they're breaking ground today. It's going to probably take them 3 to 4 weeks to, you know, clear off the plot and, excavate and get the rocks out of the way, and then on to the next step of laying some concrete. So, hey, it can't be finished until it starts, and today it finally starts. So
right.
Mark it down on your calendar.
It starts. Now, they've got to get water and power there. Do you use well water? And is it going to be all solar power and standalone, or you got to tap into the grid somehow? You got to tap into the
tap
grid.
Tap into the grid. We're using well water now. Obviously, you know, on the site, they're going to need a lot of water to get this dust out of the way, you know, from them disintegrating every single inch of rock that they're having to dig up.
Right.
But they're going to go from well to well to well, you know, probably looking at 2,000 gallons of water a day. So it's going to be an interesting undertaking, every bit of it, you know, from the entering the property and not letting the zebra and everything else out.
Yeah, right.
You know, not draining our wells to, you know, probably reaching the sound barrier, trying to break through all these rocks. It's a huge undertaking, but I'm not the only human being in the world who's done it.
Right. So, well, at least now you get to see some progress. It's not just an email going, hey, what do you think of this? Right. You
could. Yeah, man, because it's been like the sorest subject in the world when, you know, you've got something hanging over your head, but it's not started yet. And everybody continues to ask you about it. You don't blame them because it's an exciting project.
Yeah.
And I the more I think about it, the more I talk about it, you know, the more I want it to erect itself immediately. And it's just not going to happen. So like the TRX, like everything that you order. And you wait anxiously for, you know, at your doorstep when for it to be delivered, you know, you got to be realistic at the same time.
So. Do they feel like it's a pro or a con having the client on site every day standing on his porch watching?
Well, it might be a pro, you know, for most clients, but it might be a con for me. But at the end of the day, you know, Timothy is based out of Kentucky. They're not, they're GC in the project from afar. So I have to be out there. I have to take notes. I have to carry my phone and do a FaceTime and give them, you know, exactly what they need to see.
Right. You're going to be the conduit between the site and the GC anyway. Right. And
yeah.
And look,
I'm the assistant GC.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's like on one hand, because even in any services business, even when I was doing like web development stuff, it's like having the client's hand in it the whole time gets to be a little frustrating. But when I did need things like approvals and decisions made, they happened very quickly because the client was there all the time. So, you know, and a lot of what I found in that industry was a lot of the hang up, a lot of the waiting was on the client side, you know, because there's lots of approvals that happen and things like that, especially when you're working, you know, when you have Sony or Fox for a client or a big car company as a client. There's a team of people that need to make decisions, but having you or having you and Wanda as the only decision makers and you're there on site and they say, hey, I don't want to be the hang up in this process. So either yes or no, or give me a couple hours to research something and then I'll get back to you. You know,
it's not going to be a chain of phone calls that go unanswered and emails unanswered, you
yeah.
know, while they're, you know, staring at the edge of a cliff waiting for an answer. No, it's not going to be that by any means, but there are going to be pluses and minuses of me being on site. But the fact is that, you know, if I will have no one to blame but myself if it doesn't come out exactly how I want.
You know, I think it'll be exciting because of the prefab stuff. When that starts to come up quickly, starts to erect quickly, that's going to be exciting to see. And you're right. In doing some of the stuff out here with Adam, the frustrating thing is going to be like, all right, we're good to go. We want like an occupation permit, or we need this, or we need this. And then the state goes, or the city says, yeah, we'll get a guy out there in 6 weeks. And you're like, 6 weeks? Time is money, brother. It's like, I don't want to wait around. I don't want to put this thing on hold for 6 weeks. You know,
the biggest issue is time. The biggest issue is scheduling everything to where something, you know, needs to be ordered over a period of time. You're going to wait, but when it hits the ground, it's time to install it. And that stuff doesn't just sit and, you know, there's large pockets of air in between job to job. You just can't have that.
Yeah.
You know, and hey, man, you and I spoke about the staircase, right? At y'all's place. Well, I'm going with the same one, but you know, you look at price and you compare but then you look at aesthetics and you know, everything is a personal decision.
Yeah.
You know? So to have the owner on site, I think at the end of the day, no matter who it is, no matter how overbearing I may be, they may be, I think it's a plus.
Well, you're the one writing a check. You can do whatever you want.
Exactly.
Like they're going to have to deal with it, good or bad. They're in for it. They're in for you on
site.
Well,
yeah. I mean, you know, they got the the backhoe out there, right? They're taking soil samples in various spots, and you know, the first one they get about 7 inches under, and boom, it's so solid rock. Then they move over 15 feet. And they go, you know, 4 feet down. And I look at the guy and I'm like, you know, that's going to save me some money, right? He looks at me and just goes, right. Because it's, you know, I'm going to, it all evens out in the end. But, you know, these guys aren't reinventing the wheel by any stretch. Metron's done work with them for 15 years. So they've got a relationship. They've done projects up in San Antonio area, Hill Country area, where they know exactly what they're dealing with. So you know. And at the end of the day, if we got to bring in dynamite, we got to bring in dynamite. It is
right. It's that's the anomaly of the whole thing is getting through the ground and getting the ground prepped. Building the buildings themselves are what Metron and the guys do all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, you know, they know, you know, the ups and downs of that type of project. It's just getting the ground prepped first. But
well, yeah,
it's an exciting project.
And ironically, you know, the biggest holdup, the time frame where the biggest holdup is after the erection of the building, right? Because that's when the details come into play.
Yeah.
When you're putting this wall up and that wall up and this flooring and, you know, that's when specifics really play a huge role in it. And because you're going to make a decision you're going to have to live with for the rest of the garage's lifetime. So, you know, that's, I believe that once the pad is excavated, the pad is laid, and then the building is erected. I mean, I'm going to get really excited at that point because, you know, I'm going to see the end of the finish line.
Yeah.
But the fact is that that's when all the time is going to be put forth.
Right. Yeah.
In outfitting the building, you know? So, I mean, that's, you know, it's going to be a mental lobotomization process, I would imagine. So,
you know, when the slab is done and the walls are up and you got a roof over your head, just being able to walk into the building and get a real idea of its size and shape and things like that and how things are coming along. It's going to make a difference. You know, it's going to be,
I'm going to be a nervous wreck for the next 6 months.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be an exciting project though. It's going to be an exciting project. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be done long before Gage is 16, so he's going to have some thoughts.
Oh, yes, and I will take all of those into consideration.
All right, guys, let me tell you about our friends at Dodge. We all know that Dodge means horsepower and muscle, but did you know that J.D. Power just ranked Dodge number one for initial quality? J.D. Power also named Dodge the automotive company with the best driver appeal for mass markets. There's never been a better time now to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. So see your local Dodge dealer today or visit Dodge.com for more. All right. So exciting about the garage project. It's going to be cool. It's going to be fantastic. You know, like you said, you've got the house in order. You've got a lot of the property in order. I know Wanda's been doing a lot of mods and painting and all kinds of stuff to the barn and animals running around everywhere. By the way, some of the stuff she's been doing and posting is fantastic. Just some of the finishes and that thing's gorgeous. That barn's gorgeous.
Hey, it's gotten to a point where it's exactly what she wanted. And, you know, happy wife, happy life. There is a lot to be said about that saying. But now it's time for me to do my thing. So it's kind of like the property separated in her likes and my likes, right? Like over here are all the plethora of animals in the two barns that have been, you know, fixed up and then erected. But, you know, it's a never ending process. As long as she's happy over there, I can do my thing over here.
How does the layout work of the property? Is the garage, is the house in the middle now and the garage is one side and the other side is the barn, or the barn and garage near each other and then the house, you know, like.
No, you enter the property and then the guest house is at the beginning of the property, and then you take a right and you'll go down to the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And then you continue to go straight towards my house, but strategically placed exactly in the middle of the caretaker's house and our house is the pad for the garage.
For the garage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It'll be interesting. It's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to check it out.
You're not the only one.
I know. I know. All right. Well, we've got lots of news. Lots of SUV news has been popping up recently. And I know we touched a little bit last week on the McLarens, and I was finishing driving them. So we'll just hit that first. We spoke quite a bit about the 765 LT. You had a buddy that was trying to get one, was looking to get an order in on one. And we talked about he was going to go with the more comfortable seat than the racing seat, which I think is a good idea. I also spent a little bit of time in a Senna. Now, you drove a Senna. And now I've driven a Senna, and not on a track, but certainly on a street, and went, you know, was able to take it all through the canyons, Topanga, Malibu, and kind of stretch its legs a little bit. I wouldn't say the Senna is particularly faster than the 765 0 to 60. At this horsepower range and rear wheel drive, it wasn't really about the 0 to 60. It's the 765 has all the power and capability. And then in lighter weight than a 720. And then you take a Senna and you reduce the weight even more. And you give it more grip and more balance. And then you realize that track or those canyons you're on are where you start to see the progressive difference between these cars. 720, 765, Senna. I mean, between Senna and 765 LT, 0 to 60 in, I don't know, 2.5 seconds. If it was 2.6, 2.4, you're not going to feel it. Who cares?
No.
You know, but it
– But it's a – but is it – my biggest question is it a totally different feeling in the two, 0 to 60?
It wasn't. It wasn't really a totally different feeling. Now, the 765 was a step beyond the 720 with the lack of sound deadening and the noises. But then more so on the Senna. Everything is just exposed carbon fiber on the Senna.
Yeah. You know, you hear everything.
You hear everything in that. And it's got even more grip and more tire and I would say more engine noise. When you get on it, when you put it in one of the more aggressive modes, the power mode, you know, there's a comfort, sport, and track. Both the cars have that, the three settings for suspension and power. When you're getting into, you know, that sport or track mode, the Senna, I think, was even louder or just less sound deadening and you just heard it more. But it sounded like a beast. It just sounded incredible. So a fantastic car. I kind of felt like the Senna was a little bit easier to get in and out of, believe it or not, because I don't think the 720 platform was designed from the beginning to have the deep fixed bucket seat, right? And here's my thing. It's like as a shorter guy, you have to slide the seat forward. And then what you run into is that door, the way it swings forward, if it swung back, I would have more room to get in and out because I'm getting in and out closer to the steering wheel, if that makes sense. Right.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't like let go of the steering. If I let go of the steering wheel and lean back and throw a leg out, I'm still, you know, where your hips
push
would be.
Push the damn,
you know,
seat all the way to the back and then get in and adjust to where you.
That's what you kind of need to do. You kind of need to. I mean, I could do it. Like, it's okay. You can do it. But there was something about the Senna or the Senna door swung up a little bit differently. I can't say for sure. But the Senna just felt like maybe it was the rocker panel was just a little bit different shape or a little bit lower. But getting in and out of the Senna felt a little bit easier to me than the 765 LT. And I, you know, there's a lot of cars that the more of the luxury cars that when you get into them, when you turn off the car, it moves the seat back and the steering wheel up for, you know, for 2 seconds or whatever. And then when you get back in, it kind of tightens everything up. It's almost like it needs that, but it defeats the purpose of being lightweight carbon shell the seat.
You're going to add another 30 pounds to it.
Yeah.
Whatever the motor is.
But listen, if that's the only gripe that I have for that thing, then who gives a shit, right? So it's a little bit more difficult to get in and out of. The thing was just fantastic. The Senna's
so
fantastic.
So have you driven the F40?
I haven't driven the F40, no. No.
So what have you driven that reminds you of the feeling that you get when you drive the Senna, performance-wise, in another brand? Anything?
You know, that's a tough call because it has to do with the lack of features that make the difference. Like, there are some fast cars out there. I'll be honest with you. I haven't driven a ton of the Ferraris, especially the extreme Ferraris. I've driven like 360 and Ferrari FF. the closest thing to the Senna was when I drove the Lotus F1 car, the V10 F1 car. It had a crazy sound. It had a lot of road noise. It was fast as hell. and
there wasn't anything there that didn't need to be there.
Right. Yeah. That was about it. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because after driving the 765 in the Senna, I drove the McLaren GT. And my first thought was, oh, why'd they give me the GT last? I want small, medium, and large. And it turns out the GT is lovely. And it was such a welcome addition to that lineup.
Well, it's amazing that they went from one end of the spectrum with the Senna to the complete other end, luxury-wise and comfort-wise, you know, to the GT.
Yes. Yeah, so what happened is I got out of the Senna. I got into the GT. They literally swapped them at the same time. And
well, that must have sucked for you.
And actually, it was absolutely wonderful because I got in it and I was like, oh man, the GT seats are so nice and all this leather is fantastic. And then you realize you're still in a McLaren and you're like, this is really nice. I know we had Alistair Weaver talk about the McLaren GT at some a while back, and he was saying it's a lovely car. He had a lot of fun driving it. It wasn't quite 911 Turbo S yet. When you look at dollar for dollar and as far as performance and comfort and all that stuff, and my thought on it is this, is I would agree with that only because Porsche has so much time and various generations of that car. They've been able to refine that thing and get tons of customer feedback and this is pretty new for McLaren. So I think McLaren did a very good job in their freshman year on this car. Hmm. And if they're able to refine this thing and start dialing it in over the years, the way 911 Porsche has had the advantage of doing for 911, they're very close. Also, you know, when you drive down the street in Beverly Hills and you want your really cool, really fast supercar, there's a bunch of Porsche 911 turbos. I'm not just talking 911s. There's turbos and Turbo S's all over town. You don't really pass another McLaren GT. So if you want the standout version, you want to be a little bit more special in what you're driving. I'm not saying it's faster or more comfortable or handles better. I'm just, if you're just going for that factor of just being, you know, having the valet parker, not going, oh yeah, I did three of these today. You know, the McLaren GT really kind of fits the bill. I took it over to the beach. I went to like a beach parking lot. You'll see some of the pictures. I went into sort of like the end of the beach parking lot out here because there's no like barriers. Like when you drive down PCH, there's all sorts of like steel barriers and curbs and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of that in the background. And I just wanted a cleaner photo. So as soon as I brought it there and started taking photos of it, just a crowd of people came around. And people are like, that's the new McLaren. And other people are like, what is that? And that's fantastic. Can you start it up? And, you know, we were there for 20 minutes taking a few photos. But if we rolled up in the 911, it would be interesting. And people would be like, that's a cool Porsche. I love Porsches. I've had a 911. You know, I always wanted a turbo. You get a bit of that, but you wouldn't get 35 people standing around in a circle going, wow, right? Because it's new. Like, I would make the argument if we showed up there and did the same thing with the NSX, the NSX would do that as well because there's just not a lot of them out on the road or something.
It's unique.
Yeah, you know, the only other car I've driven in the past few months that got more attention, that got more people going, what is that? What is that? Believe it or not, was the Polestar 1, that beautiful
two-door. Okay, but did you drive the Senna to the beach?
I didn't drive the Senna to the beach because I was limited on the amount of time, and I just wanted seat time in that car.
I guarantee you, if you took the Senna to the beach, you would have had more people.
Yes, but for the same reason, because you don't see them all the time.
Exactly. No question. It's kudos to them for what they've been able to do.
I went out you guys know, I did this Ford Bronco Sport event, and just in, you know, the week or two earlier, the Ford F-150 event, and tomorrow I'm doing the Ford Mach-E event. So the Ford people are in town and they're doing all these drives, and Chris will get it, but doing all these drives. And I realized when they switched, that I passed like the fleet of Ford people driving the Mach-E to their next destination. I was going one way up through the Malibu Canyons. They were going another way. When I got back, one of the Ford guys was like, "Hey, we're cruising through the canyons and past a sweet McLaren Senna." And I was like, "That was me, brother. I'll see you on Thursday." And it was good. So anyway, all three McLarens were absolutely wonderful. I've got some more images to post. I've got a couple little small clips to get the sound. The 765 sound is up there. I haven't seen the clip yet. Of this Senna, because I was doing the driving and someone was standing on the road filming, but I got a little bit of that, a little bit of drive by just to kind of get some of the sound. I actually can't wait to see that clip, just because in the car it sounds incredible, and I want to hear what it sounds outside of the car. And you know they're not doing something silly like pumping in engine sounds artificially.
Oh no,
it's not that at all. And the 720, as much as I love that car, I thought it was a little too quiet,
yeah.
You know, and they're not doing anything to muffle that noise. That's just the engine going right into turbos, right into catalytic converters. And I don't know if there's even much of a muffler on it at all. Or if there is, I guess you could do some sort of muffler delete to get to that sound. But, you know, but turbos do, you know, bring this sound down a little bit. Definitely changes the sound. I mean, certainly on the racing cars we have in the other room, Adam's turbo cars and his naturally aspirated cars are very different sounding, you know. And
oh, yeah.
There's
not even close.
At Laguna Seca, where there's some sound restrictions on many of the naturally aspirated cars, they require a little bit of a muffler, and we have something kind of short and racy on there, but not on the turbo cars. That is the muffler, you know. So that's it is kind of interesting. You'll notice it when you get your twin turbo charger,
yep.
Right? Which is just going to probably run turbos, and that's it. There's not. I don't even know if there's going to be a muffler on that thing. They're probably just going to run turbos and. And I don't know if they're running cats or not. I don't know what the rules are over there, but but jump into one of your high horsepower supercharged cars and jump into your turbo car, and you'll notice a real difference. And I'm not just talking off
huge.
The whoosh sound and all that. Yeah, it's going to be a it's a very, very different sound. All right, let me tell you guys a little bit about some of the SUVs and stuff that are coming up. First, our friends at Geico. Maybe you guys own your home or you rent your home. Either way, it can be a lot of hard work. Or if you're building a super garage or a barn, it's a lot of hard work. A lot of hard work on the property. Well,
on a Geico?
Well, you know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing, too, because you already have a lot to do around your home. So just go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. Yeah.
Whether it's a Dodge commercial, the Geico commercial, they all apply.
They all apply, right? Yeah, the Dodge commercials, the Geico commercials. That's good.
We need a hair club for men to jump on.
Well, we do have Madison Reed. That's the pre-read. So we got the hair color. We can throw a little bit of that beard of yours.
Never know.
All right. So Bronco Sport, we touched a bit on it last week, and the driving impressions were embargoed. So the Bronco Sport, as you guys know, was built on the platform of the Ford Escape. But the Escape actually is a little wider, a little longer, but significantly shorter. And the Bronco Sport is taller. And as we said before, they have it configured with some of their aftermarket parts companies that they you can get a bike rack and get two mountain bikes completely in the back. You fold down the rear seats, take off the front tire, you slide them in, and you can get two mountain bikes in there completely. You don't have to drag a rack around. That's actually pretty cool. That's pretty significant for that size, for that size of vehicle. Now, we took these things off-road and were able to experience the different modes, what they call the GOAT modes, go over any terrain modes. So we did the rock and mud. We did the sand. We did the slippery. We did the rock climb. We did the descent. And it's fantastic. Now, there is a little bit of a ground clearance difference between the various models, right? I was driving one of the first editions. And I think like Badlands or something is the other big one where it has a little bit more ground clearance. And we did notice with there was about eight vehicles in our group, and it was about half and half. Half of the smaller group, the 1.5 liter engine, is like 180 horsepower, I believe 181. And then the 2 liter EcoBoost was like 250 horsepower. I was driving one of those with a lot of the nice features in it. And I had the benefit of additional ground clearance and a front-facing camera. So when you're doing that rock climbing or if you're doing a really steep descent, which we did do, as I was doing that and you're inching that thing down the hill and it's almost sliding down the hill, you can feel it slide. It'll pull one wheel up off the ground completely in the back. It was a cool thing to try. I realized as I was doing that, I didn't even look out the front windshield at all. I completely just relied on the front camera, and it guided me exactly where I needed to go. So I think you guys are going to be impressed. It really is nice. I don't know that you need the 2 liter engine, but I will say there wasn't a significant difference in the fuel mileage between the 1.5 liter and the 2 liter. So that being said, I mean, whatever, a couple miles per gallon here and there. And if you're really worried about it and you want to reduce costs, by all means, you can get yourself a Bronco Sport with a 1.5 liter and get a badass little truck. But I did see the benefit in my mind of the 2 liter engine. Now, the 2 liter obviously comes with more options on the vehicle, right? It comes with more things. So the price goes up significantly. But these things start in the 20s. I want to say 28. I'd have to check. And it is a nice, well-rounded, small SUV. I don't even want to call this one a crossover. I know the Escape is more of a crossover. But because of this thing's off-road capabilities, when you do want it, it's very comfortable on-road. And they are all all-wheel drive, by the way. There's no two-wheel drive version of the Bronco Sport, right? That's they don't need that. You've got an Escape. You want it, get the Escape. You want the street one, just get the Escape. So it was fantastic. And I'm excited to compare it against the full-size Bronco, the four-door, the two-door. I know there's
delays. When does that drive?
I don't know. I think because they anticipated some delays in production that the drive hasn't happened yet. And obviously it was very smart for them to do Bronco Sport first so we can get the word out on Bronco Sport. If you're looking to compete with Jeep Wrangler, I don't think the off-road capabilities of the Sport are going to one-up Wrangler. Wrangler is fantastic doing that. And I would even argue 4Runner is probably above that as well. And then Bronco Sport, I think, kind of fits below them. But I would probably argue that Bronco Sport is a little bit more comfortable on the street, on the freeway around town. I think it's more comfortable to drive than Wrangler.
Well, I could see that.
But you need, and again, I'm not a big off-roader, so you guys that are more into off-roading, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well. But obviously, the Wrangler was always meant to be sort of an off-road vehicle. So its on-road capabilities, although are good, you have to trade somewhere, right? You either want better on-road capabilities and you could hurt some of the off-road capabilities and whatever, you know, unhooking, you know, sway bars and, you know, things like that, that you can do.
Yeah.
And live axle in the back and articulation for the live axle, which Bronco Sport has independent rear, so you don't really get all of that. Anyway, it was a nice balance. If you're looking for an everyday driver and you want to get out into the dirt to do some mountain biking, or you're going to do some skiing, or you're going to do some rock climbing or hiking, and you've got, you know, you've got that last mile of dirt road, or there's some sand, or you got some rocks, or you're going to do some camping, it's a fantastic vehicle to drive around town every day and then go camping or whatever on the weekend, and not have it be too big or too expensive. So I'm a fan. I thought it was a great event, and it's a very cool car, and they try to bring as much of that Bronco DNA into Bronco Sport, the look, the headlights, its capabilities, a lot of those things. So that's the thoughts on Bronco Sport. I would like to get the opinion of Alistair at some point, because they do so much more side-by-side testing that he'll have the breakdowns of the specs. I'm giving you my thoughts on it. I'm giving you my opinion on it, right? Like, that's kind of what we were going for here. So, yeah, but the Bronco.
So staying on the Bronco, what's the latest? I heard there were a couple delays on the Sasquatch package or something, too, or the Wild Track.
There was a delay. It was funny. Ford did this thing very strategically where they said, hey, there's Bronco delays and in production. We'll get there. We'll give you more information about it. And they said, but also, you know, 5 minutes later, like Ford F-150 Tremor. So this is the Ford F-150 4x4. That has a little bit more off-road capability. So if you're waiting for a Bronco and you want to go off-road, Tremor could be the way to go. And Tremor fills the gap between F-150 4x4 and Raptor, right? So new Raptor. It's very much like Mustang GT, and then Mach 1 falls in the middle, and then GT500, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what Tremor is supposed to be. And
perfect placement.
It's perfect. It's perfect timing. I'm sure that's not coincidence. I'm sure there was a press release or some information queued up for Tremor, and they're like, we should drop that now. We should
now.
We should get that
no
out
more
there.
No appropriate time than now.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it's a weird like political game that obviously we see in politics all the time, but it worked. I read way more information about Tremor coming out than I did about delays on Bronco.
I had never even heard of it before that.
Yeah. Well, there was a previous gen Tremor, which I think they meant to be a sport truck, and that didn't really fly that well. Like, it didn't. Raptor was such the buzz that Tremor.
It overshadowed.
What happened was, I think Tremor was supposed to be a sport truck, but it didn't go far enough like Raptor did in the off-road capability. So it wasn't like a Ford Lightning, like a modern day Lightning, which a lot of people saying, love to see that, love to see it, love to see it. The closest thing you can get to that would be an aftermarket. Get like a Roush truck,
yeah,
or even one of the Saline trucks or whatever. But Shelby that's building the trucks in Vegas, I don't know that they're doing the street version. Maybe they do. Correct me if I'm wrong. But they have a like Shelby Raptor, you know. So if your $65,000 Raptor isn't enough, Shelby will build you a $100,000 Raptor.
Why not?
And why not? And that actually brings up an interesting point, because I would love to see, we know we're going to see comparisons between Raptor and TRX, but I'd like to see Shelby Raptor versus TRX, just to give you an idea of what the aftermarket can do as well. So as we await new,
I'm sure
Raptor,
we will see that.
I'm sure, because why not? If you went to anybody and go, hey, man, let's do a side-by-side test of a Shelby Raptor TRX, who's going to say no to that, right? Everyone's going to be like, that sounds like the most fun ever. You know, so Acura came out with a redesigned RDX recently, but the bigger SUV is their MDX. This is an important vehicle for them as well. This is their three-row SUV, and this is a complete redesign now. So this is Acura starting with a completely new platform. This isn't a midlife facelift, which is The other thing we'll get into is Nissan announced the new Armada, which is their full-size three-row SUV. So we have Acura MDX versus Nissan Armada. Both of them have very, very nice upgrades, technology packages. But the MDX is a completely new platform, where the Armada is a refresh on an existing platform. And the MDX prototype that came out a while back, the production version is pretty much right on the money. It's got larger brakes. It's got more technology. It's got a really wonderful look to it. It's actually bigger than the previous MDX. I want to say 2.2 inches overall longer. The wheelbase itself is 2.8 inches longer and 1.4 inches wider than the outgoing model. And I believe it's a rear-wheel drive. You'll look at the design and judge for yourself. The interior is nice. They're doing not quite the diamond stitch interior, but they're doing a little bit of personality with the piping and sort of the groove, sort of their version of it, which is pretty nice. Ambient lighting and all the CarPlay, Android, all the good features you'd possibly want. Now, they tried doing the four-cylinder turbo engine in this thing, and they realized there wasn't any fuel mileage advantage, but with the small engine pushing around the weight of this truck versus the existing six-cylinder and that torque pushing around the truck. So they stuck with the 3.5-liter V6 in the Acura. It's 290 horsepower and 267 pound-feet of torque. But now it has I believe it had a 10-speed transmission. No, actually, it was 9-speed before, 10-speed now. And it does have their super handling all-wheel drive system. The latest version is about 30% faster in sending torque to the rear wheels. And up to 70% of the engine torque can be sent to the back. And like the past versions, it can go to either. It has like sort of torque vectoring. You can put all that torque to the rear, left, or right. So it's cool. It looks good. Expect 19 miles per gallon city, 26 highway, 22 combined, and the all-wheel drive models are 19, 25 highway, and 21 combined. Now, the news here also is MDX Type S. I like that this Type S brand is coming back. It's in the TLX. I think it's in the RDX. And it's even in the larger MDX. So the 3.5-liter, 290 horsepower engine. In the Type S, you get the 3-liter turbocharged V6, 355 horsepower, and 354 pound-feet of torque. So, and obviously it's going to come with the larger wheels and tires and brakes. It's going to come with 21-inch wheels, 4-piston Brembo brakes, some design elements as well. So if you want a little bit hotter version of the MDX, the Type S is an option for you. I don't think it's going to be nearly as crazy as some of the M trucks, the BMW M's or the AMG trucks. But this is sort of a middle ground of not breaking the bank. The thing about with Acura is it's good quality luxury brand that's typically priced below the German brands. So if you want something that you don't want Chevy Blazer, but you don't want Audi Q8, where do you go? How do you fit in the middle? And this is where
sweet spot.
Yeah, this is where brands like Acura Infiniti kind of get into the mix, right? Lexus, but Lexus isn't really that much cheaper anymore.
No,
The Acura MDX looks fantastic. And it's got some of that design elements from the TLX, which is a really cool looking sedan. And the TLX Type S, that 355 horsepower sedan is something I'm really looking forward to getting into.
Oh, yeah.
That thing with, I believe it has the optional super handling all-wheel drive, but all-wheel drive 355 horsepower in that midsize sedan would be fantastic to try out. And that's before you breathe on a little bit. You know, like I could see you know, a little bit of tune here and there. And I, you know, as a, at the price point of where these things are coming in, if you could tune these things to 390 or 400 horsepower, it's a badass sedan. It's a badass SUV.
At a good price point too.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's that on Acura. As far as Nissan, the Armada had a number of updates, and then their small one, the Nissan Kicks. I admittedly have not spent any time in a Nissan Kicks. It's their, I don't know, they're ultra compact, they're a small crossover SUV. I think it did well when it came out. It's just sort of a fairly inexpensive, well-featured, you know, well-equipped little crossover. They're trying to toughen it up a little bit, give it more of a broader grill, a little bit tougher look. You know, and it's got all of, you know, all the new LED lightings on it, lighting on it, some new colors.
The tougher look is going to be all for naught, but the name still staying as the Nissan
Kicks, as the Kicks. But it's got a lot of the things that you want. Now it's 8-inch touchscreen, USB-C ports, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. You know, it's a 7-inch touchscreen standard, optional 8-inch. It's a 1.6-liter four-cylinder. It's 122 horsepower. It's got
sounds
a
like
CVT transmission. Yeah, sounds like your Can-Am. you know, I can't speak too much to the previous Kicks. Haven't been in one. Haven't driven one. Again, maybe another question for Alistair. You know, now Nissan Rogue is a little bit different because we've got Armada on the high end, Kicks on the bottom. Rogue is that midsize two-row that is the good selling, really popular selling version. Like it competes with Acura RDX. RDX I did drive. I did like that a lot. Rogue I haven't driven, but we took a look at the new one, and the diamond stitch that they're bringing into those really is kind of a game changer on the interior. And I believe they're selling. They're showing up on dealer lots. People are buying them and loving them. So I know that the Edmunds had a lot to say about the Rogue, saying that they did a good job on this new version. So I would imagine that it just sounds like both Acura and Infiniti all kind of stepping up their game and releasing new product that's welcome. Now, we talked about Honda Civic, redesigned Honda Civic, and yes, there will be a Type R version. They're going to take that. They're going to do the wing and whatever. Maybe not quite as aggressive as the previous Type R, but you're going to have a version of that as well, which will be kind of exciting to see. But
hey, for a washing machine with four wheels, it looks kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, I had a lot of fun driving the Civic Type R manual transmission.
It seems like a killer little car.
It is, and it was fun to throw around, but I just kind of feel like I've aged out of it. You know, as much fun as it was to drive, it just at the end of the day, I was like, it's cool. It's just not me. Like I've kind of aged out of that boy racer kind of thing.
It's dated like the X Games.
Yeah, I guess. Are we done with X Games already?
Well, I mean, for my age group, yeah, but that, you know,
right, yeah,
it's like jorts.
Jorts. Maybe in the Midwest, jorts are all the rage. All right, so let's another shout out to our friends at Dodge. We talked about Dodge being all about horsepower and muscle, and they ranked number one in initial quality for J.D. Power. And J.D. Power also named the automotive company Best Driver Appeal for Mass Market Brands. That's number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year. It's the first time a domestic automotive brand ran away with both awards in the same year. And with enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder Dodge is getting this done, taking up all the awards. Well, there's never been a better time now to join the Brotherhood of Muscle. See your local Dodge dealer or visit Dodge.com today.
I got to say, as a footnote, not only does Dodge put out some wonderful high horsepower vehicles, but they're very conscious about the consumer's feelings. I can tell you that because my football number in college was number 95, and it holds a very special place in my heart. And so Dodge knew that. And so that's the serial number for my new TRX.
Oh, really? That's
it was
nice.
That, or there were 94 people that were much more important than me.
So, yeah. Well, you know, they were sitting over there going,
it works out good though.
They were sitting over there going, man, you know, we love Bill. He's doing so much for us. But pretty much Leno gets the first of everything. So
95.
They're like, so what do we do? What means, you know, and they're like, when was his kid born? When did he get married? What, like, Google something significant. They're like, well, his social media handle is Goldberg 95. That must mean something. Let's find out what that means. And they said, great, 95 is the way to go.
Thank God it wasn't 695.
Yeah, right. well, that's good. It's I'm sure it's not coincidence. I'm sure they put some thought into it, but
here's the deal.
That's kind of fun.
A step in the right direction, right? When is it going to be completed? I don't know, because I don't care. I just know that it's starting.
Right. So
like the garage.
Now you know this because they came to you and they said, "Here's the build number. Here's the serial number or whatever VIN number." So
no,
you're
no,
on the, you're
I drugged them over hot coals to get the information. absolutely. I mean, I was just curious. I don't want to poke and I don't want to pry like every other owner, but I'm very curious as to when the TRXs are coming out. So I threw the question out there, and after about 15 to 30 seconds, I got an immediate answer, and you know, I'm always appreciative of them getting back to me. But yeah, that's
well, that's good.
All I know.
Well, I mean, on that topic of getting cars and waiting for them, we didn't really touch on it last week, but you and I talked about it a little bit. Ford did get back to me and said, we can make it happen. If you want a Mach 1, you can get a Mach 1. And I said, that's fantastic. Thank you. That sounds great.
Way to go.
I'd love to get one. When do we make this happen? And when do the order books open? And they're like, yeah, we got no idea. Maybe spring. So now, and you know, like I was kind of antsy, and I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to get on this list. Can I get on the list? What do we got to do? Am I doing enough? Who do I need to talk to? And then they said, hey, you're on the list. So I was like, oh, whew, wow, a weight off my shoulders. That's very exciting. And now a couple weeks have gone by, and I'm going, well, when is that list? When is somebody going to reach out? And when do you make that order book? And when do I get to—
That's just another way to satiate you and get you off their ass.
Yeah, they're basically saying— now leave me alone for the holidays.
Exactly.
Like, we don't even want to talk to you until January at best. And I was like, oh, okay. Cause what's interesting, of course, is like you, like me, like, you know, I talked to Adam and I go, hey, I just found out Ford put me on the list. Adam goes, what color are you going to get? And I said, I don't know. I don't even, like, I haven't even seen all the colors. Like, I got the list of colors, and I haven't seen them. I don't know what the order books are. I don't know what the packages are. I don't even know how much the goddamn thing costs. Like, we know the base price was, like, $51,900 or $52,000. But I don't know if there's a track package or a performance package. And, like—
oh, it'll be $70,000, $80,000 by the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So now the good news is – if they're saying spring, I'm like, oh, well, I don't want to wait till spring, but that gives me 3 or 4 months to make some money and try to come out and make some money to buy this goddamn thing.
Hence the delay of the garage.
Yeah, right?
There's always a bright side.
It is interesting because I know you're looking at that garage, they're breaking ground, and you're like, I don't know what this means, but it either means I got to go to LA and work. I got to get back in the ring. I got to do something, right?
Because, guess who's doing the Goldbergs next week?
Yeah, doing the Goldbergs next week. And yeah. And I don't know what that WWE contract looks like, but you might want to talk to you know, Vince McMahon and be like, hey, what can I do for you?
We got lots on tap.
I'm sure
2021 is going to be a bitching year for Goldberg's Garage. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Well, you're putting a gym in that thing, right?
You're
putting the big gym in there. Right. Let's wrap it up. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much for listening. I think we've got a couple more shows. Two more shows. I don't know how many more shows we've got before, before we take a little holiday break, because that two more? Okay.
Yeah, two more.
Chris looks like he's going to say something, but he doesn't say anything. He's just nodding his head.
I put the two up.
He's nodding his head. Perfect podcaster.
Yeah.
The head nod goes really well on the air.
I dare you.
I'll be on set next week.
You'll be on set next week. All right. So are you going to be on the show next week? Are you going to be available Wednesday?
I don't know. I'm waiting for my exact filming schedule.
Okay.
I know Wednesday is my last day of filming. I'm filming Monday through Wednesday. So I don't know what the timing looks like, but we'll make it work. I'll let them know as soon as possible. Maybe they can work around it.
Awesome. Sounds good. So let's plan for two. We're going to go for two more shows. We're going to have to work that
out. But if I'm doing it from on set, I have to wear a gown, a mask, and a shield. So that'll be
That's right. We'll figure it out. We'll figure something out. All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. Until next time, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. Before you head out, one more word from our friends at Geico. Do you own your home or you rent your home? Either way, it can be a lot of work. You know what's easy? It's bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And that's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Just visit geico.com. Get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Don't wait. Skip the line on your choice of 32 rides this fall with 5 free single-use fast lanes when you purchase a Kings Island 2025 Gold Pass by August 11th. Make the park your own with unlimited visits through the rest of this year and all of 2025. That's 2 years of tricks and treats, Halloween haunt and Winterfest, plus an expanded Soak City featuring the all-new dual racing water coaster River Racers coming in 2025. Don't miss our best offer of the season. Get your 2025 Gold Pass today at visitkingsisland.com.